Well, if you would, please locate Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles. We're going to talk about faith this morning. This is the great roll call of the faithful chapter in the Bible. Noah is one of those great examples of faith, so we'll spend some time talking about Noah. But the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's how this great chapter begins in Hebrews chapter 11. And I remember a great illustration of that when I was young. I visited with my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, and I was about in the second grade. And we went to this park, national park there in Arkansas, and we were on a high hill, and there was a bluff. And down below the bluff, you could see a river. But from the top of the bluff, it was difficult to look and see the river because you might fall. And my brother-in-law knew that I wanted to see down below. And I'd get a little closer, but I couldn't see the river because I was afraid I was going to fall. And he said, "Now, JB, give me your hand, and I'll hold on to you, and you can lean over, and you can see the bottom." And I said, "No, because I'm afraid you might let me go." And he looked at me and he said, he said, "JB, I will not let you go." And so I grabbed his hand and he grabbed mine and I leaned over. And sure enough, right down at the bottom of those cliffs, there was a river and it was beautiful. And I was glad as soon as I got back up where I didn't have to depend on him anymore. But you know, the greatest definition of faith that I've ever heard is this, that faith is confidence that God will do what he said he will do. Faith is confidence that God will do what he said he will do. Now, the first time my brother-in-law said, "JB, lean over and I'll hold on to you," I was not confident that he would do it. But when he looked at me in the eye and he said, "JB, I will not let you go," I knew he would do it. And the song we just sang, "Hold to God's Unchanging Hand," illustrates that. That's how our faith is with the Lord God, our Creator. We may not have all the answers about salvation in all of our lives, but we can hold to God's hand and believe that God will do what he said he will do. And that's what faith is. Faith is confidence that God will do what he says he will do. Now in the verse 1 of our text, the King James says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." But notice in the NIV, those of you that have it, what does it say? It says, faith is what? It is confidence. It is confidence in God. Now, you don't have to throw away your brains to be a Christian. There is evidence, and that confidence that we have is a part of that evidence. If you live your life a certain way and you walk with God, then you're going to have part of that confidence. And there's other evidence that you're going to see that warrants the conclusion that God does exist and he can be a part of your life. God is not Santa Claus. He's not there just to give you gifts. Some of it depends on you. And there are things that you are called to do. But there are times when you're leaning over the cliff. And now, will you hold on to me? Hold to God's unchanging hand. And that's faith. If you have confidence that he will get you through. Now, brothers, every one of you in this auditorium this morning, you're going to be going through perilous times. You're going to have a health crisis. You may face death. You may face some kind of a financial reversal, some family issue where your home is falling apart. And you don't know, you say, "I don't know how I'm going to get through this." But you can hold to God's unchanging hand. And if you have faith in God, that is, if you have confidence in God that he will do what he said he will do, then you can get through it. And that's what David was talking about in that psalm, I believe, that Brother Charles read a few moments ago. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't that a great statement, church? And brothers, that's a great definition of faith. Faith is confidence in God that He will do what He said He will do. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The hand of the Lord. You know, the prophet Isaiah says that God says to Israel that my hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and neither is my ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, Isaiah says, and your sins have hid His face from you. But Isaiah had that message. God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And I'm so glad that song was led. The song leader must have read my mind this morning. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Now look at verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is what the ancients were commended for. Notice that in Hebrews chapter 11, every single covenant dispensation is listed just about that you can imagine. Every time period. You know, we studied the life of Noah. We're in Genesis 6 this morning, and we talked about Noah was a righteous man in his time. And that has to do with the time that Noah lived. There was a covenant relationship that he had with God, and he walked with God in his time. And then later on, chapter 9, God established a new covenant with Noah. And so the Old Testament is actually filled with different dispensations of time where there were different covenants. And Noah was a man righteous in his own time. You are living in the covenant age of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to tell you, well, if you want to be righteous before God, you need to build an ark. I'm not going to tell you that. You have to go back to Noah's time. I'm not going to tell you if you want to be righteous, you need to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's in Moses' time. We're living in the Christian age, the dispensation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There are two things stated about faith that's necessary. We must believe that God exists. You must believe that He is. And when I was a young preacher, I just would quote over the rest of it, but it's also that you must believe that He will reward you. Now, my brother-in-law rewarded me by holding on fast and hard to my arm as I leaned over and saw what I wanted to see down there. And I had confidence that He wouldn't let go. And the same thing with our Heavenly Father, our Creator. We need to have faith and confidence in God that He will indeed reward us. Though we be dead, yet we speak in our lives. Though we are dead, yet we will survive again. And Enoch was a righteous man and walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, that's a promise that has gone down through the generations of the Heavenly Father that we worship, that God will take us. Even though we are dead, Jesus said, fear not him that can destroy the body, but rather fear him that will destroy both body and soul, where? In hell. So you some people can't destroy the soul. They may kill the body, but they cannot destroy the soul because that's going to be eternal. Now he gets to Noah. Noah is the example, and we won't have time to look at all of these, but we're going to look at Noah. Now the Bible says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not seen. All right, now that tells you something about faith, first of all, that you do not have to have physical evidence in order to have faith. I've never have seen electricity, but I know that it's there. And I felt it too many times. There are things that we don't see, but yet we have confidence they're there. And so this is what faith is. This is like faith. But Noah, it says in verse 7, being warned about things not yet seen. Well, what was one of those things that had not yet been seen? Let me tell you, it was rain. God said it's going to rain,
and there's going to be a flood. And Noah, he'd never seen rain. Did you know that in Genesis chapter 2? The Bible, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, verse 5. And there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Now some translations have a mist came up. The Bible translators don't really know what the word of God is talking about here. But there was some moisture that would come up from the ground itself to water things, but there was no rain. And Noah had never seen rain. But you know, the Bible describes Noah, though, as a righteous man, and he walked with God, and he was a faithful man. And when you have faith in God, then you have the confidence to believe what he's saying to you. Now, I never had anybody to do what my brother-in-law did. And I never had anybody to grab my arm and said, "Gosh, all right, go ahead and lean over." And I didn't have confidence until he looked me in the eye and said, "JB, I will not let you go." And I knew then he wouldn't. He was serious. He wouldn't plan a trick on me. And he was a huge, big, strong guy, and I knew that he had the power to hold me and dangle me over that bluff if he needed to. But I trusted his word. Faith is confidence in God that he will do what he said he will do. And trust is also a part of that. Trust and confidence are two English words that mean basically the same thing in the context that we're talking about here. Now what else does he say here in verse 7? By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, notice this, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. In holy fear. There is a fear that is holy. It is all right to be afraid. Did you know that I am afraid of heights? When I was in the second grade, that's the reason I was nervous about him doing that. I was afraid of high places. You know, we got this bridge over the Colorado River out here. Has anybody been there to that little government-sponsored walkway that you can walk out there on that bridge across that deep gorge? How many of you here have been over that yet? All right. Not many hands went up. Well, I've been there. And you know what? I got real nervous just walking where you could look over. I wanted to walk close to the highway. Now, brothers, that is okay. I'm afraid of heights. Now, why is that? Because I respect what heights will do if you teeter-totter and fall over. I respect that. Now let me ask you, do you respect God in holy fear? The way people use the name of God and misuse it, the way people disregard God in the decisions that they make, and the way they live, the way people stop up their ears and they don't even want to hear the gospel, and I've seen it even in the church. Their eyes just glaze over, or they walk out that door and they never come back because they don't like what the word says. Look, I didn't write what this says here. I've had people get upset with me, and I have to say, look, I didn't write this. When Paul wrote this to the churches, I didn't write that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that, or Paul said that, or it's said in the Old Testament. And so sometimes we don't like what we hear. But Noah was afraid, and we need to have this awesome fear and respect for the awesome creator of the universe. And so it says, in holy fear, what does he do? He built an ark to save his family. Now notice this verse also. And by his faith, he condemned the world. Now I like that because there is a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, and I pointed this out in Bible class when I teach 1 Corinthians, but it says, Paul told the church at Corinth that the saints will judge the world. The saints will judge the world. And they were having problems at Corinth because they could not even judge matters within the congregation. Apparently they had poor leadership in the church and the congregation. They couldn't make up their minds. And they just couldn't make good judgments. And he said, well, why can't you do this? The saints will judge the world. And so some look at that and they think, well, that means that God's going to put the church on thrones of judgment. That's not true. Because God will judge the world. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, will sit on the throne and judge the world. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And it's the throne that Jesus will sit on, and he will judge that. Church is not going to be judging that. But I believe this verse right here explains what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And that is by Noah's salvation and his life. The fact that he did what God said stood in condemnation of those who would not do it. And did you know that's why some people hate you today? If you're a faithful child of God, maybe it's somebody at school or somebody at work. Because you see, they see your life. And it makes them feel like they stand condemned. And so they want you to be like them. And that's the reason they don't like you. And you know, we're living in a day where in our culture, increasingly, it's become secular and people hate the name of Christ, and they don't want to follow Christ. Fear is the foundation of biblical faith. Fear, holy fear, the respect for God, the God's awesomeness. Paul talked about those people who had no fear of God in their eyes, Romans 3 and verse 18. Fear recognizes God's power and holiness and justice. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the Bible tells us, Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of also wisdom, the Bible tells us, Proverbs 9, verse 10. The psalmist said, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, Psalm 85, verse 9. Well, let's look a little more closely at Noah. Noah was saved by grace. Noah was saved by grace. Look at verse 8 again. But Noah found... Genesis 6 verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 when it talks about Noah's faith and how that he responded to his fear of the Lord and his faith in the Lord. By faith, verse 7, by faith when Noah was warned about things not yet seen. Notice this, by not yet seen, he was warned. So in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And in it he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness. That is in keeping, in fact, with faith. And faith is unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We can't earn our salvation. But nevertheless, we can respond to salvation. Well, let's talk about how he did it. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But what was the reason that grace was extended to Noah? Well, it's found in verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. That is, there was something about Noah's heart, his receptivity, his mind, his life, that made faith welcome in his life, and it made God respect what Noah was trying to do. And so God bestowed his favor. Now, brothers, if you have a hard and impenitent heart, you will not receive the favor of the Lord. Now, the Bible from the beginning, from Genesis through the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about individual responsibility in receptivity, in receiving the gospel. Now, I know that sometimes God chooses to do things. For example, God chose that the Messiah would come through the lineage not of Esau, but of Jacob. That was God's sovereign choice. And when Paul wrote the book of Romans and Galatians, he talked about God's sovereign choice with regards to the Gentiles and how that they would come to faith in the gospel age. That's up to God. But when it talks about individual responsibility from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, it talks about our own hearts and receptivity to God and so forth. And so that's why God bestowed his grace. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now we can respond to the death of Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 8. We can respond to it or we cannot respond to it. Paul says, for salvation is by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. But you see, God's grace can be extended, and we can reject God's grace. The Apostle Paul says we can set aside God's grace in Galatians chapter 2, or frustrate the grace of God, I believe is the way the King James Bible talks about it. Great Galatians 2 and verse 21. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 40, you will not come to me that you might not that you might have life. Notice that. You will not come to me. Well, if the bestowal of God's grace had nothing to do with our hearts, well, why didn't Jesus force them to come to him? No, he didn't do it. He says, you will not come to me that you might not that you might have life. If it was impossible for them to come to him there in John 5:40, he wouldn't have said that. He didn't say, it's impossible for you to come to me because you weren't chosen as individuals to be saved. You're going to be lost whether you believe in me or not. He didn't say that. He says, you will not come to me. But that you might, that means they could have come to him. But they would not. It's just like faith. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Well, if you don't listen, you're not going to get faith. Faith's not going to come because you're not listening. That's what hearing means. You can hear words, but you don't listen and do anything about it, is what it's talking about here. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Notice that. You can receive God's grace in vain, even as a Christian, by your life. Here's a great text. And with many other words did he warn them. This is Peter's sermon in Acts 2 and verse 40. And he pleaded with them. He said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. He's not saying save yourselves by your own works of righteousness or earned salvation or what have you. The Bible doesn't talk about that. You know, when he's talking about saving yourselves, he's talking about receiving the grace of God. Do you welcome God's grace or not? Accept God's grace. And if you do that, you'll need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he said in verse 38. I didn't say that. God said that. Paul, through the Apostle Peter. That's a requirement of salvation. What does it mean to save yourselves? Well, let's look and see. Verse 41. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I did a little work on that word accept. That's why I've got it underlined. It's a word that, it means accept here, but it's a word that means to welcome, to receive favorably is what it means. And to give you an example of elsewhere in the New Testament, when Paul was in prison in Rome, the Bible says this, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented house and welcomed, that's the word right here that has accepted in the NIV in Acts 2 and verse 41. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. That is, he received them and he welcomed them. He was glad they came over. He welcomed them. He opened the door and let them in. Come on in. And here is what Peter is saying here, or Luke in Acts 2 and verse 41, those who welcomed the gospel were baptized, and about 3,000 were saved. Noah was saved by faith. Now go back to our text, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Then verse 7, by faith Noah, notice this. He built, there's a verb there, built. And I'm looking at verse 7 if you're lost, of Hebrews 11. I want you to underline by faith, underline it, and then underline the verb build or built. Because in all of these examples of faith, it shows that you do something if you have faith. You see, by faith, you do something. By faith, Noah built the ark. You see, by faith, you might be baptized. You might obey the gospel. By faith, you might live right. It's not passive. It's a very active kind of relationship that we have with God. Now let's make this point. Not all who believe are saved. Did you know that? The Bible doesn't teach that all who believe are saved. There are many times the Bible talks about those people who did not who believed but did not obey. For example, John chapter 12, nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed, but because of the Pharisees they would not confess him. For they love the praises of men more than the praise of God. Imagine that. John 12, verses 42 and 43. Imagine that. Believing that Jesus was who he was. But because you love the praise of men, they wouldn't confess it. And maybe something, did you know you need to confess Christ to be saved? With a mouth, confession is made into salvation. And you need to do that today if you haven't done that. Maybe you don't do it because you're afraid of what people will think about you. Well, that's what these particular Pharisees here were. They were afraid of what people would think about them. They might be put out of the synagogue. They might receive a lower station in life, so they didn't do it. Faith without works is dead. James chapter 2 and verse 20. James 2, 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's the only time, by the way, that faith only or faith alone is found in the Bible. It's James 2, 24. And it says salvation is not by faith alone. Yet millions say, well, it is. No, it's not. You've got to welcome the gospel and receive in order to receive salvation. Noah was saved by obedience. The Bible says in Genesis 6, 22 that Noah did everything as God commanded him. Exodus 19, verse 8. I love this. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And this also has to do with the example that Jesus Christ gave us. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, that is complete, he became the author of our eternal salvation as well. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. That said of Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, he gave us an example of exactly what we're to do as well. Noah was saved because he did what God told him to do at the time. In his time, he did whatever God said to do. And God made a covenant with him after the flood. Noah was saved, the Bible says, by water. God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. And in it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And then he goes ahead and says in verse 21, the like figure were into also baptism doth also now save us. And so that's an example, a great example of how it is that waters of the flood washed away the sin that was in the world. And then the earth was cleansed. And so what does Paul tell Ananias to do? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. If you haven't been, maybe somebody here today hadn't been baptized. I want you to think about this. Baptism is immersion in water for the forgiveness of sins. That's the way the Bible says. Why have you not been baptized? Why are you putting it off? You know, you can do that today. You can do it before the last amen is given in this service. You can be baptized. Now, I take it by faith because I have confidence that there is a baptistry right behind me. And there's water in it. Because, see, we got some good deacons and other folks that attend to it. And I know that. I just know I haven't looked at it in years, probably. Most people do the baptizing. I don't do the baptizing anymore. But I know there's water there. And we can take care of your needs today. You can be saved just like Peter says that we can be saved today, just like the people were saved by Noah and the water. Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16. Now here's the summation of the whole sermon today. A person is saved by grace when he has enough faith, or he or she has enough faith to obey God's commands. Notice that. I've underlined that. Grace, faith, and obedience. Isn't that the three things that were mentioned in the lesson this morning? Well, I just had one person said, yes, I need to go back over and preach that sermon. Would you like me to slide back over all the... A person is saved by grace when he has enough faith to obey God's commands. And wasn't it the case that these are the three points that Noah had? Grace, faith, and obedience that caused his salvation? Amen, church?
Amen.
That's right. All right. You remember that, don't you? And that is so true. We don't save ourselves, but we are saved by grace. But we have to receive that grace. And to receive it, we may have to have confidence that God will do what he said he will do. That we can hold God's unchanging hand. He'll not let us go. And then as a result, we're going to gladly receive the word, and we're going to do what it says. And in the example there in Acts chapter 2, they that gladly received this word did what? They were baptized, both men and women. And so it can be with you today as well. We're going to sing this hymn, Nearer, Still Nearer. And if you want to be nearer to God, if you're away and wandered away, you can come to God today and do what you need to do. As together we stand and sing, please come.